We went down to the Carpenter's Arms yesterday.
We did. Amen.
And we saw Lee. Lee sends his love to everybody. And thanks you for your letters and your notes that you've sent to him. And he's praising God. He says he'll see, but it might be May before he decides whether he's coming up or not. Took a photograph of him. So, praise the Lord.
He's got some looking teeth.
Yeah, he's got teeth. Hallelujah. Another young man that we've been talking to on and off over a period of time in Teen Challenge in Doncaster. His name is Shane, and he actually got himself into Carpenter's Arms last week. He's 57 years old. He was in banking a few years ago and lost it all. So keep him in your prayers. He said he's staying there.
A number of weeks ago at Teen Challenge, Kenneth and I sat with Shane and questions were coming at us like nobody's business. And we sat with him most of the evening just talking to him about God. And you know, he said, "I'll be back again to ask questions," and we actually haven't seen him since, have we? But I think you will. Praise God. God is good.
Amen.
I'm so blessed to hear all that.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
It was good to be down at Carpenter's Arms and see these guys there growing and developing. And some have just left recently, but not all of them stay the course.
No.
And it is about staying the course, sticking in there and not quitting. And that's so important, and that if they'll do that, they'll come through in victory. So praise God. We had a trustees meeting and talking about the future of Carpenter's Arms, and we need a new place, a bigger place, or an additional place anyway. And it means we're looking to spend at least $1 million. And then to take it to another level, it may be that we've got to spend $2 million because we need a couple of houses as well. So we're just trusting God for finance and everything else. And as we make steps forward, we have a waiting list of 25 people. Which is a big waiting list when you've only got 12 beds in a place. And you have a 6 to 12 month program. So there's a great need out there. And God's at work. The other thing we learned, if you want a big church of 1,000 to a couple of thousand, the thing that you need to put on after Sunday night service is a bar, an alcoholic bar. And you can get 2,000 people to church then. I don't know where they'll level it. I don't know how they'll match it together. I just don't understand it. And that was not one church we heard about. Quite a few of the churches in that area are doing that. After Sunday service, there's a bar on. Well, if it's alcohol that brings you to church,
forget it.
And Jesus is Lord.
Amen.
And the only spirit I want is the Spirit of Christ.
Amen.
The only spirit I need is the Spirit of Christ dwelling in each and every one of us.
Yeah.
And see the power of God changing lives
and
destroying the works of wickedness.
Yeah.
And alcohol, I mean, that photograph there of Shane, he openly admits that he's been drinking that cheap cider. And he said to me, It's never seen an apple. It's just chemicals. And yet it's legalized. You can legally kill yourself drinking chemicals. It's what a way we've turned away from God in one sense, when the churches can just, you know, turn around to people and say to, they've said even to our inmates, young lads that are changing their lives, well, you know, come out with us tomorrow night, we'll teach you how to drink sensibly. And if that's Christianity, I don't want it. If that's following Jesus, I don't want it. Because there's nothing there that will turn me on at all. I want to see the power, the glory of a risen Saviour that came to set captives free and bring complete deliverance and healing in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, we need a building. We've a project to build another building at the side on a piece of land we've got. But again, we need close to £1 million to complete that work. Pray that there'll be some grants made available to us, so that we can then have a street church that we can minister to lives and see lives in that area changed. So, glory to God. Hallelujah. So much great needs. You know, you guys have been in this. You don't always get there. You don't see it. We bring you the news back. But you know, great shall be your reward.
Amen.
For your support. Your support for us.
Yeah.
Your support for that work there. It's like when we travel. Your support that you give us. Mm-hmm. Will be encouraging to others. And you will receive a reward.
Yeah.
That is the promise.
Yeah.
You know, you might not see where your gift has gone. You might not see what your prayers have done at this point in time. But in time you will.
You will.
And you shall receive a just reward.
Yes.
Because God is keeping account.
Yes. Praise
God. God tracks all you're giving.
Amen.
God knows where it's all been sent, and He knows who's used it and what they've used it for.
Yeah.
And it's accredited to your account.
Amen.
In the heavenly bank account.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Woo! God.
And great shall be your reward.
Amen.
Amen. So thank God for that. Hallelujah. And because as a church we're faithful in our giving.
Amen.
And we direct our giving in a right way. And we see that God will move and change lives, and that is so important. Hallelujah. So praise God. Yeah. No. That's right. You know, Lee appreciates the love that you gave him. You know, it's the love as a church that brought him actually into the kingdom. That has actually got him into Carpenter's Arms.
Amen.
That's causing him now to live a life.
Yeah.
And, you know, he thanks you for that. And again, it is accredited to your account.
Amen. Yeah.
And there are churches that will not accept the lees and the chains of this world. They invite them in, but they don't really want them in.
Yeah.
Do they? You know, they just invite them in, but they don't really want them in. They make them feel uncomfortable. Keep an eye and watch them, you know. Don't, you know. Show them the love of Jesus.
Amen.
And watch Jesus work in their lives.
Yes.
Change them, set them free, and deliver them. Was it Friday? We had a phone call from Romania. Friday, I had a phone call from Danny in Romania. He and his father have just been out to Croatia to a conference. And Pastor Daniels met a young couple. I believe they were an Asian couple. And my name came up in conversation. Yes, it looked like that, Graham. That's right, I thought. My name came up in conversation. And the Asian couple know me. I said, I don't know anybody in Croatia. So Daniel says, oh no, they're not from Croatia. They're from Kazakhstan. I said, I don't know anybody in Kazakhstan neither. I mean, we're going even further east. You know, I'm like, I've not ever been in that area. I said, I've no idea who you're talking about. Well, they know you. So Danny said he's going to find out more of who it is. But the only persons that I can think of is many years ago when Bish used to come. A Canadian couple came over. And in the back of my memory, I think they were Asian of some sort, and his father ran a business in Canada. They were from Canada, actually. They lived in Canada at that time. But they wanted to go out and work in missions. But his dad wanted him to go and work the business. Looks like his dad lost. That's the only couple I can think of. I know nobody else. So I don't know. So we'll probably be linking up. Today, for those of you who remember, Philip Badiko from Ghana. Spoke to him today on Skype. So his wife, Linda, and his two boys, 7 and 5. Lively pair of guys.
Yeah.
And it's about 10 years ago since we've seen Philip. And he just asked to be remembered to everybody, and thank you for the fellowship when he was here studying at High Melton, etc.
Yeah.
He set himself a business up and he's doing fine. So, well, he says thanks to everybody. So praise God. See? We've got contacts all over the world. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is moving right all over the world. Hallelujah. And it is good to, you know, when you do good to people,
yeah,
it will come back.
It will, definitely.
It will come back.
It definitely will.
You know?
Cast your bread on the
water. It will return to you. Yeah. And as I say, I mean, this couple, it may be over 10 years since that Canadian couple. It's got to be, because I said I had to rake into the distant archives of the old hard drive and drag it out from there and think, well, that's the only people I can think of. But they're out in Kazakhstan, so it's like, okay. So who knows? Might be off on a trip there at some stage. Just spread the word of the Lord. You know, send out the message of life of Christ Jesus. So keep an eye open on the website. You never know. There might be Kazakhstan's coming up next.
Yeah.
Glory to God. So we're reaching out.
Amen.
Proclaiming the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ.
We are.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
And we don't need alcohol.
No. No.
To do it, we.
Never.
And if people aren't persuaded by the power of the gospel, and if it needs the power of alcohol, well, guess what? They're going to hell.
That's it.
And they're being deceived, and the church themselves are deceiving them.
Yeah.
And that's a sad indictment.
It is.
And that's right, John. It says, be ye separate from the world.
Yeah.
And you know, we've said Jesus is coming back for a glorious bride.
Yes.
And if there's going to be, you know, remember the parable of the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's a few foolish churches out there.
Yeah.
All right, they've got the numbers, they've got the money, and they think they're doing great. They've got the fame. It's not about fame, but it's about His love and His mercy that flows in the lives of people that changes them.
Right.
We don't have many, but I tell you what, there's a small group of people over the years.
Yeah.
This church, this body of believers, has done a mighty work in many lives.
Amen.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
It's not in numbers.
No.
Jesus had 12 disciples.
He never went with the big crowd.
The big crowd left him.
Yeah.
So don't get hung up about small numbers.
No, don't.
Or we'll grow, there's no doubt about it.
We will.
But don't get hung up about small numbers.
No.
Because Jesus, he said to them, you know, he said, you've only come for one thing.
Yeah.
Because I fed you.
Yeah.
And you've come again to be fed.
Yeah.
And that's all you've come for.
Yeah.
So then he says, well, unless you eat my body and drink of my blood, you've got no part of me. So they took off and left him.
Yeah,
and he turned to his 12 and said, and what are you going
to
do? We ain't got nowhere to go. Nobody will have us. We're outcasts. God told us many years ago, we were the church of the rejects. Fine. I'm rejected by the world. I'm outcast by the world. But that's all right. As long as I'm accepted by God, that's all that matters. Because as old Jim Reeves sang, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Glory to God. And we're, you know, we're just passing through. And we just use what there is available in this world to help us pass through.
Amen.
And we ain't taking it with us.
No.
The only thing you take with you is your faith.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Mark's Gospel. Chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 46. And then they came to Jericho. And as he, Jesus, was going out from Jericho with his disciples, and a great multitude, picture this, just imagine this in your mind, imagine the scene.
Yeah.
Here's Jesus with his disciples, and it says, and a great multitude around him. Jericho was a big city, a big area, a rich area, rich in finance, rich in goods, but poor in spiritual things.
Yeah.
It was deprived spiritually.
Yeah.
It was decadent. It was godless.
Yeah.
And he, Jesus, was going out of Jericho and his disciples and a great multitude. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Son of David!
Amen.
Son of David!
Yeah.
Son of David! Have mercy on me. Here's this guy sat at the side of the road. He can't see anything, but he hears all the noise. Finds out that it's Jesus who is coming down the road.
Yeah.
He's heard about this Jesus.
Yeah.
He's heard about the reputation of this Jesus.
Yeah.
But he also believes that he's the son of David.
Mm.
And to the Jews that meant he was the coming Messiah.
Amen.
He was their deliverer. He was their healer. He was the one who was going to set him free.
Amen.
And so he's excited. And he knows he's got a need and he wants to get the attention of Jesus.
Amen.
And so he's making as much noise as he possibly can.
Go for it.
Amen. He's not a shy, reserved, whispering type.
No,
he has a need which has bothered him for a number of years, over 40 years.
Yeah.
And he's now got an opportunity. And he's not going to let this opportunity slip through his fingers. He's going to take this opportunity because this may be the only opportunity that he gets to get in touch with the Son of David, Jesus. And verse 48 says, and there were many who sternly turned round to him and said, shut up, be quiet. Keep your voice down. Be still.
Yeah.
And what did he do? The word says he cried out the more. You are not going to shut this guy up today. This guy knows that this is his day. This is his opportunity. And he is going for it. And nobody, not even his own blindness, is going to stand in his way. So it says, but he kept crying out all the more, Son of David, Son of David, Son of David, have mercy on me.
Amen.
Wow. He's crying out. He's calling out. Verse 49 says, and Jesus stopped. That is a very important verse. And Jesus stopped. Have you stopped Jesus? Have you stopped Jesus? Have you got the attention of Jesus? You know, so often we sort of say, well, you know, Jesus is looking for you and, you know, come to Jesus and everything. But there are times when you have to stop Jesus. And that's not the fact that he's too busy. It's not the fact that he doesn't know that you're there. That's not the point of this message. That is not the point of what is happening right now with blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus knows who Jesus is.
Amen.
I guess there'd be a lot of people in the crowd who didn't really know who Jesus was. Oh, he was famous. But did they really know who he was?
Yeah.
They knew his name. They knew he was in today's language it would be, he was a superstar. And they all wanted a piece of him.
Yeah.
Not whether they were asking for his autograph or what. Didn't have cameras in those days, so they couldn't say, I want my photograph taken with him, could they?
Yeah.
Just want to reach out and touch him. You know, people meet these, well, they call them superstars, you know. Don't know how you become a superstar. Don't know what you have to do to be a superstar, really. In the world's term, must look it up in the dictionary and find out. Maybe there's some of you who are already superstars by now. In the eyes of God, you are. In the eyes of the world, you're a nobody. But that's okay. Because the world does not hand out the rewards that last. But God does. He hands out the rewards that are eternal.
Amen.
And so here he's stopping Jesus. He says, and Jesus stopped and said to him, or said to them, call him here. Amazing, isn't it? This crowd at first is all yelling at him, shut up, stop, sit still, be quiet, get out of the way, you're making too much noise, you know, and just pushing him to one side all the time. And all of a sudden Jesus says, he stops Jesus. And Jesus says, call him over here. And then the crowd turned around and said to him, and they said, call the blind man saying, take courage. What do they think he already had?
Great courage.
He'd got great courage. He was hollering for all of his life.
He was.
Take courage. Arise. He's calling for you. It's like, yeah, it's not what you were saying earlier, is it?
No.
It's not what you were telling me earlier on.
No.
But he didn't focus on that. Take courage. He'd already got courage.
Amen.
He was just waiting for the call. He was ready.
He was.
And verse 50 it says, and casting aside his cloak.
Yeah.
What a statement he makes here.
Amen.
Blind Bartimaeus.
Amen.
He's wearing a cloak, which is yellow.
Yeah.
Blind people, in particular, had this cloak.
Yeah.
It helped them stand out in the crowd.
Yeah.
Helped them to be noticed that they were had needs and they were incapable of working and getting their own finances.
Mm.
And so people would give to them.
Yeah.
They didn't have dark sunglasses like they do today and a white stick. It was a yellow cloak.
Mm.
This cloak had a number of meanings, did a number of things.
It did.
Firstly, it made the statement, I'm a beggar, I'm blind, and I need your help.
Yeah.
The next thing it stated was that during the daytime, when it was really hot, he covered himself with it to keep himself cool.
Yeah.
It would reflect the heat of the sun away. So it kept him cool during the day. But on an evening time when it turned cool, he wrapped his garment around him to keep him warm. It was multi-purpose.
Yeah.
It was very important to him.
Yeah.
It kept him cool. It kept him warm. It kept him fed.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
That to me is a very important piece of equipment.
Yeah.
Would you not agree?
Yeah.
You know, that's his living. That's his livelihood. That's his lifestyle. That's everything that he had need of.
Yeah.
Was in that garment.
Yeah.
And suddenly as he stops Jesus along the way, blind Bartimaeus intended to stop Jesus for one thing and one thing only. He had an agenda.
He did.
And he stopped Jesus for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was that Jesus might restore, might give him his sight. And so when we get to verse 50, knowing the fact that this garment is so important to him,
yeah,
probably was a good quality garment. Probably a few folk hanging around thinking, I won't mind that cloak. Keep me warm. Blind Bartimaeus, verse 50. It says, and casting aside his cloak, casting aside all that he had, all his protection, all of his possible finance, everything that he had need of, the statement of everything about his life, and he said, I don't need this anymore.
Amen.
He's still blind.
Yeah.
He's still blind. But his faith tells him that he knows what the Son of David is capable of.
Amen.
And he says in his statement, I don't need this anymore.
No.
In fact, what he's saying is, my old lifestyle is just about to go.
Amen.
My old lifestyle is now going to be over and done with.
Amen.
I am no longer going to be a beggar.
Amen.
In fact, I am no longer going to be a blind beggar.
Amen.
I'm not going to have a need of this garment to keep me warm, to keep me cool, and to get my money. I'm going to get myself a job.
Amen.
I'm going to do it like it should have been done.
Praise God.
So he now casts off his cloak. Throws it away. You can imagine there's a scurry. There are a few folk grabbing for it. He don't care.
No.
You can have it, he says. Because what you've got is now second rate. What you've got now is useless as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because I have just got something better. Now, he's not received his sight yet. But he's making a statement of faith.
Yes.
He's declaring his faith right there and then.
Amen.
And saying, I don't need this anymore.
Amen.
Because I know that when I get to that Jesus, when I get to the Son of David, I am healed.
Amen.
There is my eyesight waiting for me. So he just throws this cloak away and says, I'm the healed.
Amen.
I'm no longer blind.
I am the healed. Amen.
He says, and he jumps up and he came to Jesus. And verse 51, it says, And answering him, Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus knew what he wanted because he'd already seen his statement of faith.
Amen. Amen.
And blind Bartimaeus said to him, Rabbi Noi, which is master, I want to regain my sight.
Yeah.
He knew what he wanted. He wasn't asking for money.
No.
He wasn't asking for bread.
No.
He wasn't asking for a job.
No.
He was asking for the most important thing in his life at that point in time, was his sight back.
Yeah.
And Jesus said to him, go your way. This is it. This is the biggie. Your faith,
amen,
has made you well.
Praise God.
Jesus did not even lay hands on him.
No.
Jesus did not lay hands on him.
No.
All Jesus said, your faith. What was his faith? His faith was in the fact that he threw away the garment.
Amen.
And got up and ran to Jesus.
Amen.
He could hear where the voice of Jesus was and he ran to the voice.
Amen.
And today people need to listen to the voice of Jesus and they need to run to it.
Amen.
So many people are running from it.
Yeah.
And those are people in churches as well.
It
is time to run to the voice of Jesus.
Amen.
It is time to reach out for Jesus.
Yeah.
It is time to let God set you free.
Yeah.
And as we run to him,
yeah,
his words are, go your way. Your faith has made you well.
Amen.
And it says, and immediately, he, blind Bartimaeus, had a name change. He was no longer called blind Bartimaeus. Hallelujah. He was Bartimaeus, the one who sees. Hallelujah. And he says, and immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road.
Amen.
That's what you do when you receive from Jesus. That's what you do when you're indebted to Christ. You follow him.
Amen.
And you'll never let it. You know, he got his sight back. But you know something? Before he had his actual physical sight, he had spiritual insight.
Yeah.
Because he saw and realized who Jesus was. And there were very few in the crowd that day who really knew who Jesus was.
Amen.
And these people were brought up Jews. They were taught in the synagogues. They were taught to go every Saturday. They were taught the word of God. They were taught the law. And they still did not know who Jesus was.
No, that's true.
Oh, he might be a prophet. Mm-hmm. Could be Moses or Elijah come back.
Yeah.
No, he's not. He is the Son of God.
Amen.
He is the one who has come to redeem the world back to God himself.
Amen.
He's the one who's come to forgive us our sins and to wash us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's the one. Jesus said again to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. He didn't go his way. He went the way of Christ.
Amen.
He went the way of Christ.
Yeah.
He says, He regained his sight and he began following him on the road.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Yeah, glory to God. Yeah.
That's what Christianity,
amen,
that's what discipleship's all about. When Jesus touches you, you start to follow him.
Hallelujah.
And you follow him for the rest of your life.
Amen.
For your physical life, And then into eternity, you follow him. And you'll never get lost along the way. Today, the church is so busy with programs.
Yeah.
Programs where there's no power. There are needs out there, I understand that. There'd be less needs if Jesus was in control of mankind. The needs of this world would be met immediately. There's so much greed and that goes on in the world. People's security blanket, their finance, their job, their house, their shares, their ISAs, whatever it might be. These are all their security blankets. I don't need Jesus because I've got all this.
Yeah.
We meet them on a Friday night. Their security blanket is drugs.
Yeah.
I was talking to one young man last Friday night. Told me he's not on anything. He's not on his Subutex. He's got ulcers in his legs, all bandaged up. He's having to take medication for that, so he's not taking his Subutex. It might affect that. I'm not on anything. I've only had one can today, that's all. I've stopped drinking. By the time I'd finished talking to him, you listen to everything they say. By the time I'd finished talking to him, he'd had 3 cans that day. And then we got to the final one. He'd also taken heroin, but he's not taking anything. Guarantee a drug addict, alcoholic, will lie to you forever and a day. He knows that. I told him. I tell him all the same thing. When you start to be truthful with us, God will set you free.
Amen.
When you start realizing where you're at, God will set you free and do things in your life.
Amen.
You're only lying to yourself. And today the world is lying to itself all the time. They deny God. Why do they deny God? They deny God because that way they don't have to face the judgment day in their mind. It's like a child. When it does something wrong, you want to chastise it, puts his hands up in front of its face. Can't see you. You're not there anymore. And that's what adults are still doing today in the world. Deny God exists, deny the very existence of God, and we're all right. Well, let you into a secret. You're in for the biggest shock of your life. Because hell is available to those who don't know Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Heaven's my destination,
Amen.
I trust. Trust it's yours. But it's as we walk day by day, being obedient disciples, walking in faith, following Jesus, follow him along the road.
Amen.
He had a choice.
He
chose to follow Jesus. He chose to go all the way. He'd made his choice when he threw his garment away. He knew the price that he was going to pay. Because you can guarantee that garment was gone. He didn't care. He didn't need it anymore. He'd got the best. Somebody had picked up second best. When they picked up his robe. He discarded the things of the world and took the things of eternity into his life. And it gave him his sight. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Jesus is wonderful in what he can do. But for you and me, our faith has to be a 24/7. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's not just a Sunday, a couple of hours, or a Wednesday for an hour or two. It's 24/7, it's 7 days a week. It is a lifestyle. In your job, and when you meet people, always you are there to portray Jesus. And as you do that, such will be great reward unto you. It's like I said to you earlier, there are people going to church these days. They go to church, they get their cards marked. I don't know what they think's happening in heaven. And then they go and live like the world. Jesus did not say, go and live as close to the world as you can. He called us to be separate from the world. He didn't say live on the fence. He didn't say imitate the world. He said imitate me. Be like me. Let me come in and teach you how to live. Blind Bartimaeus changed his address. Changed his dwelling. He no longer needed the pit of Jericho. And it was a pit. It was a godless place. That's why they say they're going down to Jericho. Yeah. They never say they're going up to Jericho. Because Jericho was going down towards Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. It was on the downward path. Mm. We're not going down, we should be going up. Amen?
Yeah.
We should be going up into the things of the kingdom of God. And blind Bartimaeus decided, I'm taking the road out of Jericho.
Woo!
I'm following Jesus, and he's taking the road out of Jericho, so I'm following him. I don't need my robe.
No.
I don't need my begging spot anymore. You can have it. It's free. Whoever wants it can sit there and beg. But you've just missed out on the greatest gift that he'd ever been given.
Yeah.
Some folk would say, well, he got his sight back, that means he's got to go and work. And I don't want to go and work. I don't want a job. I just want to collect my dole money. Just go and sign on, it's easy. No responsibility, no pressure. You're missing it. You're missing it. Bartimaeus is saying, I've got my sight back. I am restored. I am going to see that the things that God has promised me are going to come to pass, and I'm going to be part of it.
Amen.
He followed him along the way. Praise his wonderful name. And if you follow Jesus, you'll not need to beg. He will always supply. He will meet every need. He just let that cloak go. And as he threw it away, he grabbed on to Jesus. And he grabbed on through faith in eternal life in Christ Jesus. What a time. What an opportunity he took. What are we relying on today? Are we pressing through with our faith?
Yeah.
Are we catching hold of Jesus?
Yeah.
Are we declaring the word of God to be true?
Yeah.
And everything else a lie?
Amen.
That's what we need to do. Mm. Declare everything else to be a lie, but Jesus to be true.
Amen.
And his word.
Yeah.
And we will see the signs, the wonders and the miracles as we press on into the things of God. I can't get your miracle for you. I can show you who can. I can point you to him. Jesus. But after that, you have to make your way.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pursue him.
Yeah.
You have to cry out his name.
Yeah.
You have to reach out in faith. Mm-hmm. And as you do that, your miracles, the touch of God, doors opened. Just because you're following Jesus. It's a great story. just amazing that this man, against all odds, made his voice heard above a crowd. He must have been bursting his lungs to get the attention of Jesus. You know, he must have been frantic, because he knew that this was his time. This might be the only time that Jesus would ever pass through Jericho. That Jesus might only ever once pass by his life. I don't know how many times Jesus will pass a person's life. But Bartimaeus was making sure that the first time was going to be the time. And he wasn't going to miss it. Because we do not have a promise of a second time. That's right, John. Now is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Not next week. Not when you get to your 60th birthday. Or anything like that. Now is the day of salvation. This is the time. And as we take Jesus and as we move forward in our lives, as we allow him to come in and to fill us, to change us, to direct us, we shall see the Son of God in power. We shall see him coming in victory. And we shall know him in a powerful way. We shall see signs, wonders and miracles. God, the Son of God, has died for you. He came to set you free from your sin. And for those listening over the internet, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, he came for you. He came that you might have your eyes opened to see Jesus and to ask Jesus into your heart and life, to make him the Lord of your life. And all you have to do is confess your sins to him. Ask him to come in and forgive you from all your sins and all your unrighteousness. And ask him to be Lord of your life.
Amen.
And then start the process of change. And begin to read the Word of God and ask God to begin to reveal himself through the Word.
Amen.
To show you Jesus. To show you his love, and he will do it. Let's just bow our heads and pray.
Amen.
Father, we just come to you, and we confess our faults and our failures, O God. And we just ask that, Lord, that Jesus would come into our hearts and our lives and would change us. We turn from our wicked ways, we turn from the ways of the world, and we turn to Jesus.
Amen.
And we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be Lord of my life. Take total control of my life. And show me the paths of righteousness and truth. And give me the strength to stay with this. I ask this, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Lord bless you. Hallelujah. May he keep you, strengthen you, and encourage you. Praise his name.
Praise God. I love God, and I just thank him for everything that's mine. And I've been challenged these past few weeks to just focus on the fact that when I was saved, I was at that point as much healed as I was saved. It's not something that's got to come to me. He's given it. And I need to know it, realise it, walk in it, meditate it until it hits my spirit that I am healed. If the light of God is in me, how can darkness be in me? Sickness is darkness, and darkness can't stay where the light is. When the light comes in, the darkness has to flee. So sickness has to flee. When I was forgiven, sickness had to flee. And so I need to focus that until my body says the same thing. Amen? And it will say the same thing. Once it's in hit my spirit, my body will come in line. Amen. So let's keep focusing on who we are and all that we've been given in Christ Jesus. A tremendous legacy. Only Jesus can give it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.